here at the 2019 Visa Payments Forum in Chicago, Illinois, and in the studio lounge is Mr. Wayne Best. Wayne, how are you, sir?
Doing great.
Good.
I heard beautiful weather in Chicago. You can't beat that. It's always nice to be here when it's nice weather.
Exactly. As opposed to a couple of months ago when it was a little chilly. But anyway, hey, you had a session earlier today called Business and Economic Insights Spring Market Outlook. So can you share some key economic trends and some of the implications for Visa issuer clients?
Absolutely. So I think part of the biggest message that I delivered today was really related to the fact that everybody kind of thinks that we're going into a recession.
We were just talking about that earlier.
I mean, the news is bad, the media is pushing it in that way. You'd almost think like we're falling into a recession right now. You know, the challenge is that there are financial indicators that are pointing some warning signs, inversion of the yield curve and things like that. But the real economic fundamentals are solid. And in the session, we talked about the fact that we have 7.4 million job openings in the country right now, 6.3 million people looking for work, so we just don't have enough workers.
Right.
And while the media would say, oh, we're slowing down in terms of jobs, frankly, what is happening is we run out of workers. Small businesses claim that this is the biggest issue that they have on their dockets right now, and everyone in the room was complaining that was the same issue also. You can't expand your business without new people, and we are really challenged in this environment. Everybody's working and wages are rising, which is great for spending and great opportunities for spending overall, which we see really happening pretty much throughout the United States. Now, parts of the United States have been impacted a bit because of tariffs. Those tariffs have had some challenges, and certainly in the farming community and sectors. And I've traveled the United States recently in Des Moines and definitely see that front and center. And of course, we always have weather issues, you know, flooding and those types of things. Those are creating some additional challenges for farmers. But in general, most areas of this economy are really performing quite well. And that was really some of the key messages that we wanted to really let our clients know about.
It was funny, we were just talking about the whole recession thing, because it seems like each year somebody said, well, there's going to be a recession at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. Watch out, be careful, you know, get all your ducks in a row before that happens. But then it never happened, and then it doesn't happen. So is this another... is this going to happen again, 2019, 2020? Or, I mean, so, it's hard to get the crystal ball out, I understand that.
Well, it is, but there are a number of great indicators that we pointed out in the session that I think you can watch, easy to follow, things that you can watch to see whether or not the economy is likely to start stumbling. And one of them was really related to the inversion of the yield curve. I know it's a little geeky, but it's the 10-year rate, longer-term rates, that are lower than short-term rates. The three-month rate is what we typically look at. When that inverts, that's generally been a telltale indicator of recession activity somewhere down the road. Generally, it gives a lead about 11 months. Now, it happened 5 months ago, or 5 weeks ago.
Right.
It actually happened.
Okay.
However, it was for a half hour. I mean, this has to be inverted.
That doesn't really count.
No, it has to be inverted for three quarters or something along those lines, 2 to 3 quarters. We're nowhere near that.
Okay.
Another great indicator is related to initial jobless claims. And again, solid fundamentals. The number of initial jobless claims, people losing work, getting unemployment benefits, right now close to a 50-year low.
That's amazing.
A 50-year low. Yeah. So but these aren't indicators that are pointing to a recession. We plug all of this data into a recession indicator model. We see a recession 18% probability over the next year, which is very low. That number's gonna be like 60% for us to really start being worried about it. We don't see a recession happening in 19, nor one in 2020. Now that's an election year. You better believe that the administration is gonna look for all kinds of opportunities to find funding to improve infrastructure, for example. Who's not going to complain on both sides of the aisle in Washington about fixing roads? That's going to keep a lot of people working. And by the way, we're going to hire a gazillion workers for the census. We got to count everybody again. It's that time again. And so that's a lot of jobs that are created. So 2020 isn't on our radar either. Do you think any president would want us to go into a recession in an election year? Not likely.
Not likely.
So we're now thinking that the economy is the most vulnerable to a slowdown in the first quarter of 2021.
Okay.
Now, our baseline forecast doesn't say a recession then, but we will be the most vulnerable. So that'd be the first time that I'd be looking at that.
Okay.
At that period of time.
So push it out another year, as they say, a year and a half.
It's another year and a half to 2 years out.
So what questions should Visa issuer clients think about in light of the recent economic trends as they think about planning for next year? I think you kind of alluded to that in your previous response there.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But I think the other things to think about is, and it's an area we've been following very, very closely of late, and it's really a tremendous amount of disintermediation that is happening with bank card balances. Let me explain. Mm-hmm. Credit card balances, people revolve balances, etc. What's been happening of late is a lot of those balances have been kind of skimmed off to unsecured installment lending. Recall that bank cards are unsecured revolving credit. Right. This is unsecured installment credit. And they've really taken off. About 40% of that activity is from fintechs. Hmm. So they're taking away some of those balances. And in fact, credit unions, smaller community banks are going to be very much impacted by this movement of dollars. In fact, those are generally the more profitable balances because they're revolving, they're making money on those. A lot of financial institutions that I go talk to over the last year, year and a half, saw the outstanding growth rate balances on cards going down. They saw that going down and they attributed it to the economy doing well and people paying off balances, etc. Right. No, that's not the case. It's been the siphoning, or we call it disintermediation, away from bank card space. Now again, our estimates have shown that over the last couple of years, it's amounted to about 5% of all of those balances being skimmed off. And again, those are the most profitable balances. That's where people that are listening to this video are making their money. And so we have to start waking up to the fact that this is in front of us and this is happening overall. And how do you combat it? Well, let's think about the pricing that we have in place. Let's think about the fact that that really hasn't changed substantially in 30 years. You know, unsecured installment loans, these fintechs that are doing this are often much lower cost.
Oh, yeah.
Think about the whole process for someone getting a credit card in your organization. That application for the process for a fintech is very, very simple. They've made it simple. So part of going along with the way of what's been happening in the industry, and this is a pretty fundamental shakeup, has to be analyzed and understood for them to be successful in the future.
Is it the younger generations that are kind of going toward the fintechs? Because they're looking, I don't want to pigeonhole them, but they've been raised on technology and they're always looking for the simplest way to do things. And it sounds like that might be the group that's going that way.
Our research shows that it's frankly very broad-based.
Really?
There is obviously a little more concentration in the millennials,
yeah,
but generally they haven't created a lot of bank card balances just yet.
Yeah.
It's the Gen X and even the boomers. You know, everyone thinks that the boomer population, you know, is out there. They are using their computers and their phones and, you know, having no problem with it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting this activity and understanding of this relative to what's happening to this fintech space. So they're getting the advertisements too. They're looking them out because the pricing is generally cheaper. That's what I said. We have to go back. I mean, you know, what is the rate that's being charged? Is that really the right rate to be charged? Think about this overall in a much more holistic fashion.
Yeah, so the financial institutions kind of have to redraw the playbook a little bit to compete with the fintechs that are kind of nibbling
exactly
at their heels.
Right. That's exactly right.
Gotcha.
Redraw the playbook, I think, is definitely the way to start thinking about it. And Visa's doing some things to help there. We have a new installment lending kind of feature, at point of sale, some other things that are being discussed at the forum.
All right, last question for you, and I'll get you off the hot seat here, Wayne. Key takeaways for your audience from your session this morning. What are a couple of things that folks can take back to their shops?
So one of the things I think that's really important is to start thinking about your portfolio, your credit card portfolio, and the risk aspect of it. When I start thinking about when the next recession is going to come, and when no one's going to have a perfect crystal ball, and that I'm saying that, you know, first quarter 2021 we're vulnerable, but you know, it's out there a little bit.
Right.
So what do you use? What are the tall tale indicators that people on this video that can watch this and say, what can I use to understand my program better? And here's two really hard fact ones that we've developed. One of them is, we look at 90-day delinquencies, which is somebody that's seriously delinquent. This isn't a sloppy payer. This is somebody that's seriously delinquent. It turns out there's a very strong correlation with that in average weekly hours worked, as well as initial jobless claims. I mentioned the 50-year low. They're very strongly correlated. The average weekly hour gives, when that starts to tick up, or go down, I should say, the number of hours work goes down.
Right.
That gives an 11-month lead time to 90-day delinquency starting to rise. And initial jobless claims, as it starts to rise, it gives a 10-month leading index to when 90-day delinquency is going to start to rise. So that is a great sign for you to watch. Easy to access numbers.
Yeah.
You can get those right from the news. And I would watch those very closely, because those may be the first signs that there is additional risk coming to your portfolio. How are you reserving for it, managing it, thinking about your call units and answering the phone calls on collections and those types of things. I think that's a key takeaway. Okay. As we are in this environment of a slowdown that's going to come sooner or later. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. if we get to July, it'll be the longest expansion in history ever. But they don't die of old age. So we have to keep an eye on what would cause them to start to falter we think about the future.
It's a far cry from where we were about 10 years ago, that's for sure. So, and to have that track record since then, it's pretty impressive.
Yes.
So
things good to be points on that.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Wayne, thank you
Pleasure.
So much. Appreciate
nice
the time.
You.
Wayne Best, everybody. Good job, sir.
Thank you.